You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Now from Times Square. Here's what you need to know.
Dr. Darian Sutton joins
us here.
Good
afternoon. Always good to see you as well, my friend.
Always happy to be here.
So let's talk about this. The FDA has announced even more weight loss drugs shortages.
This seems to be more and more of a chronic problem. So here's what we know in terms of the injectable medications used for weight loss. Right now, that supply seems to be ongoing, specifically when you look at medications like Mounjaro, Zepbound, and Wegovy. Now, we have different medications for what has been often used for weight loss, but unfortunately, it seems that all of them are in short supply, mainly because of the increased demand. Surprisingly, Ozempic is still available, likely because of the availability of these other medications, but many still looking for these needed medications.
And so many people trying to find them, they're going to compounding pharmacies. Yeah. What should people know about that?
You know, compounding pharmacies are a great tool for those with specific and unique needs, but they are not meant to be used for convenience. So my warning for those is that when you're using a compounding pharmacy, for example, to get one of these medications, it's often not FDA regulated or monitored. That opens you up to a world of risks. So you have to be careful talking to your provider about different options, but I would definitely avoid using a compounding pharmacy because you want to avoid those risks.
Better to be patient and wait.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Doc.
Of course.
Let's turn now to ABC's Christian Cordero in DC with our latest headlines. Good afternoon to you, Christian.
Good afternoon, Eva, and happy Friday to you all. Great to see you. We begin with former President Trump's hush money trial in New York. Trump's attorneys are taking another crack at tabloid publisher David Pecker in cross-examination in his third day on the stand. Pecker testifying on details about a meeting he claims he and Trump had at the White House 6 months after Trump's election, and conversations Pecker said they had on the possible impacts of unflattering stories on the election campaign, but not on Trump's family. Trump has denied all wrongdoing. Pro-Palestinian protests are in their ninth straight day in New York City, with officials, students, and faculty trying to come to an agreement to safely end those demonstrations. Demonstrators and law enforcement clashing in Ohio overnight as tensions run high on a number of other campuses across the country. And no mention of TikTok in Beijing at the high-stakes sit-down between the U.S. Secretary of State and China's President Xi Jinping. A report from Reuters says Chinese owner ByteDance may consider not selling TikTok and may opt to possibly shut down the popular app instead if an agreement can't be reached in the U.S. Now to our Ginger Z for a look at your weekend weather.
Big weekend for severe storms, and today it's all about parts of Missouri and Iowa, but it was Colorado with the landspout tornado. Those form differently, but still can do some damage. This morning, woke up with tornado watches and severe thunderstorm watches around Oklahoma City, and easily gusts of 60 to 70 taking over that tractor trailer. So this is going to be a long couple of days, and here are the areas that need to be on the lookout. For today, it's through the afternoon and evening in Iowa, Kansas City again, Overland Park, down to Dallas and Fort Worth, even including Little Rock. Then a new storm comes in, and it pumps up the atmosphere for more damaging wind. Highest tornado threat then in eastern Kansas, right through central Oklahoma, down into Texas, and Iowa gets in, so does Kansas City. So that's Saturday. And then Sunday, it stays around. But look, even Michigan all the way down to Louisiana have some sort of threat going into the weekend.
And the NFL's big night in Motor City, the massive crowd in Detroit welcoming a new generation of football stars in a night full of emotion. And quarterbacks, five chosen in the first 10 selections, a new record. 23 offensive players picked in the first round, another record broken there, guys. We will see if that translates to a record number of points scored this fall.
Oh, let's hope so. But a lot of lives were changed in a matter of seconds.
And speaking of welcoming stars, we have to give a special welcome to you, Christiane. It's your first time with us here.
I mean, I feel lucky enough to have, you know, met you guys, all three of you, and it's great to be part of this team today.
Well, we are lucky to have you. Thank you very much. All right, still ahead on GMA3 on this Friday. What you need to know about the landmark case before the Supreme Court and the argument over absolute presidential immunity.
Plus, the return visit from Miss America here on GMA3 and the important mission she's on.
Welcome back to GMA3. Former President Trump's legal fate could be shaped by a landmark ruling from the nation's high court.
The Supreme Court is set to weigh in on the questions around presidential immunity
and what that covers. ABC senior national correspondent Terry Moran joins us now from Washington, D.C. to explain what's at stake in this blockbuster case. Now, Terry, the Supreme Court spent hours yesterday debating Trump's immunity claim. What were the key takeaways?
The main takeaway, Eva, was that this was a good day for Donald Trump. And the reason for that is that the court really came to grips with a hard problem that has been, you know, part of our law for a long time. The president is a special character under the Constitution. All the executive power rests in the presidency. So what kind of protections does the president need from maybe the regular processes of law that the rest of us has to face? For example, presidents have total immunity from civil lawsuits. You cannot sue the president for something the president does in his or her official capacity. And that's because the president signs every bill, does all kinds of things, affects every person in America, can't be subject to lawsuit for that. What about criminal liability? Can the president be prosecuted for acts taken in accordance with his or her official duties? That was the question in court. Trump says everything he did to try to overturn the 2020 election, he did in his official capacity, is just trying to ensure electoral integrity. The prosecutor differs. And what the court came to grips with was, well, where's the line between Trump's personal interest as a candidate and his official responsibilities as a president? That was really at issue in the case. And they came out essentially sympathetic to Trump's argument that he needs some protection from prosecution.
So, Terry, the former president is claiming absolute protection for what he claims were official acts, though he denies any wrongdoing. So why is the conversation focused on that point?
Because what the court is going to do is try to draw a line between what a president does in his or her official capacity and what they do in their personal capacity. And let me give you an example. So the president can't just murder someone, right? Obviously. But if the president feels that there's somebody who is a threat to national security, as Barack Obama did with a terrorist leader of al-Qaeda named Anwar al-Awlaki, who was a U.S. citizen living in Yemen, Obama thought national security required that person be eliminated. He ordered a missile strike and killed Anwar al-Awlaki without any due process of law. Now, could Barack Obama be prosecuted for murder? The answer is no, since it was done under the color of national security law and in his official capacity. That's the kind of line that the Supreme Court is looking to draw in this case. What was Trump doing as president? What was he doing as candidate? What was he doing for the public? What was he doing for his personal gain? That's going to be sorted out first by the Supreme Court and then by a jury.
I know it's hard, but I'm going to ask you to kind of read the tea leaves here. Looking at the current makeup of this court, how could this all break down?
Well, I think the bottom line is that they are going to write a complicated opinion that will require more litigation by the lower courts. And therefore, and here's really the bottom line, it is almost certain that this case will be delayed. There'll be no trial before the November election because they got to sort through this issue. And so I think for a lot of people, that was an important question. Will Trump go on trial for this case alleged to have tried to overturn the 2020 election before this election? The answer, given what we heard in court yesterday, is no. The Supreme Court's going to go to work. It's going to take a while. They're going to require more work. There'll be more litigation and more delay.
All right, Terry, so if Trump is considered immune for his actions on January 6th, what will this mean for the office of the president as we know it? And what could it mean for future transfers, peaceful transfers of power?
Yeah, that's the concern, certainly, that the liberal justices and a lot of legal scholars have. They can't give a president too much protection from prosecution. Some people think they shouldn't have any, but the court said that the president needs some protection, the conservatives did, because they need to be free to efficiently, safely, fully, and aggressively act for the public good. If they're always looking over their shoulder that some partisan prosecutor is going to bring a case against them down the line, they won't be able to do that. And so the concern is, you know, they'll give presidents too much protection from prosecution. At the end of the day, I think they're going to try to draw some general principles and let the facts fall within those general principles, try and have judges and juries figure out when a president has gone too far.
Senior national correspondent Terry Moran, thank you always for
your
insight.
Good to see you, yeah.
Just ahead here, fighting back against pancreatic cancer.
Miss America joins us on that and the events taking place tomorrow across the country and our special reason for participating. Come on back, folks.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit. Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Tomorrow, the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network's Purple Stride Walk is happening in nearly 60 cities across the country.
And hosting the walk in New York City is a friend of the show and current Miss America, Madison Marsh. She is back here with us to talk about that cause that is near and dear to her heart. Madison, so good to see you
again. The queen is here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to get you back.
And I know you're here for this walk. This walk is special to you because this cause matters to you. Mm-hmm.
So I had lost my mom. We're coming up on, I believe, the fifth or sixth anniversary this year. She passed away in 2018 to pancreatic cancer when she was only 41. And so we had started our own nonprofit, the Whitney Marsh Foundation. But since then, we have the same mission as PanCan. We all want better lives for all patients that are battling this really tough disease. So I'm really lucky to get to be here within this week. And I've got my little purple on today.
Love to see it. And you started that nonprofit, what, 2 weeks after your mom passed?
Yes.
Why was it important to get it off the ground right away?
So I started the Whitney Marsh Foundation. And it was all because, I mean, we really wanted to find a way to remember who my mom was. And time is of the essence with pancreatic cancer. It's the number three leading cause of cancer deaths in the United States, on its way to be number two. There is no time or money to waste on pancreatic cancer. People need change now. We need more money going to pancreatic cancer now because people's lives are on the line. It's a quick disease. It's one that's tough to battle, and we need people that are ready to rally behind others. And if we could start that in a small place in Arkansas and now getting to work with a large organization like PanCan, we can all make a difference together. Every penny, every second counts for patients.
And you know, this diagnosis not only affects those diagnosed with it, but also those caring for their loved ones. What do you say to those caregivers out there that might be watching?
I think really having to be a positive light for those people that are going through it. I know I always really tried to stay positive for my mom because it was a tough time for her and it was a tough time for the family, but also recognizing it is okay to feel those feelings of being sad. And I had a lot of times where I had felt hopeless, and it's okay to feel those things, getting them out to the right people, being able to work with your family, finding people that are gonna have your back and stand next to you when you're down. And then obviously just taking care of the person that's in need and trying to be that support system that they really, really need in a time like that.
But do you feel that people are being hopeless because it's so rapid? I mean, the second that you hear that someone has pancreatic cancer, you're like, oh my, it's just a matter of time before they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, my mom passed away less than 9 months after she was diagnosed, and she was 41. And so that was really tough to hear, especially since we didn't have cancer history in our family. She was healthy, she wasn't a smoker, she wasn't in any of these risk categories, so it was terrifying. And I don't want any other family to go through what my mom did. I don't want them to go through what my siblings and my dad had to go through watching the most important person in our life pass away because we're not willing to put in more at the congressional level. We're not willing to put in more research. Those people are worth it to me. Everyone deserves a chance and a shot at survival. And if I can be a voice for those that can no longer be a voice, that is what I want to dedicate my entire life to, because they deserve it. And every day I'm going to wake up and put my mom's story out there, because her name and the rest of the other patients' names deserve to be heard, because that's the way that we make change for others.
Mm. You are doing incredible work and creating that change. Miss America, Madison Marsh, so lovely to have you.
Thank you. Good to have you.
Just ahead here, Dr. Darian here with news of an important new tool that could be crucial when it comes to strokes.
And later, we are going to shop it like it's hot, everybody, with our friend Millie Almodovar. She's found some hidden gems that you can get from the comfort of your home. So come on back, everybody. Millie! All right, we're back now with Dr. Darian, taking a look at a new small survey that finds that 2/3 of parents here in the U.S. feel lonely and isolated, especially moms.
Many people probably relate to this. So this is from a new study from Ohio State University, a survey of parents, and it found that over 60% reported feeling lonely, the majority of which were mothers. And it's something that seems to be spreading in our country when you look at the reports in terms of overall loneliness, not just affecting our emotional health, but also physical health. Loneliness is associated with increased risk of heart disease, and even later in life, an increased risk of dementia.
So what can you do? Because the thing with raising children is it sort of sucks all your time.
Yes.
Yeah, you're the
and
caregiver.
So then you don't really have a whole lot of time for yourself or other people.
You know, I think number one, remembering that to be the best parent, you have to take care of yourself. And when we identify loneliness, it's not just about not seeing people around you. We were talking about this backstage, how you identify loneliness. How many people in your life can you talk about your insecurities with, your bad moments with? Those are the people that are important. So focusing on quality rather than quantity of friends and doing small things that can be as simple as taking a walk and getting some coffee. And for those who might not have time to get outside, I think that this is an opportunity for social media and online. Support groups are really, really helpful for many parents.
I was about to ask for advice, especially single moms who have to work 2 and 3 jobs and still take care of the kids, and they feel like they don't have any time for themselves.
You know, I think that's when you have to reach out to, again, those other creative ways when we talk about online, but also reaching out to your close friends and being honest. I'm the type of person, as we were talking, we all are, that keeps a small, tight group of friends. Mm-hmm. Sometimes saying, hey, I don't have time this month, but I would love to just have an hour-long conversation with you on the phone just to talk about my day. That can go a long way. And it's not just about being that or looking for that friend. It's about being that friend as well.
Being that friend.
Absolutely.
Right, Doc, thank you very much. We
of course.
Appreciate it. Stay with us. We're back in a moment. Oh, check this out. Welcome back to GMA3, What You Need to Know. And we are saying I do to Pancakes, the delightful golden retriever and ring bearer at a wedding in the UK, wandering down the aisle, a little distracted, but getting the job done, making that crucial delivery in a doggy tux and wagging its tail. Oh, love to see it.
My dog would never do that.
Would make it down the aisle.
He would find someone with snacks in their purse. Dr. Darian is here again with one of your questions, and here it is. This is what you're asking today. What's the difference between a TIA and a stroke? That's from Anna Marie Kay.
Great question. In short, both are emergencies. So a TIA stands for transient ischemic attack. And many people define it as a stroke that is a mini stroke. I don't like that word. What it is stroke-like symptoms that resolve within 24 hours. And a stroke, obviously, are symptoms that don't resolve. Both of these can be associated with a lack of blood flow to the brain, which needs to be addressed immediately.
So what are the symptoms? How do you know you're having a stroke?
Well, I wanted to show you something really interesting. Yesterday, we met with the American Heart Association, and they have this really cool program on their website, which can show you and simulate a stroke with a selfie. So this is a selfie that I took yesterday. If you notice on one side of my face, on the lower part of my face, you see some drooping. It can be relatively subtle, but you can make it come out when you ask that person to smile or to speak or to drink even. And you'll notice that my brow is furrowed. Often, strokes are isolated to the lower 2/3 of the face. Again, it can be relatively subtle, but it's really important to identify and address quickly.
And how, yeah, I was just about to say that, the time. Yeah. Time is of essence.
Time is of the essence, and we use a great acronym in medicine called FAST. And here's what it stands for. So the F is for face. So if you notice any weakness or numbness on one side of the face, that is an emergency. Arm weakness, for example, asking someone to hold their arms up. If you notice that one arm drifts down while they're holding it up, that can be an emergency. Changes in speech. And then T is for time. Time to call 911. And also, most importantly, time to take note of the time. When you come into the emergency room with symptoms of a stroke, one of the first questions I'm asking is, what time did this start? Because that helps me to understand the appropriate treatment.
This is so important because mm-hmm. I even know classmates who are in their 40s and people who are in their 30s who are having strokes.
It can be, and they can present very subtle, and about addressing it quickly has the best prognosis. So you always want to make sure to identify it quickly and don't take any chances.
All right, Doc, thank you very much. And of folks, course. We would love to hear from you. So hit us up on Instagram with all of your medical questions for our medical unit at ABCGMA3. Up next, the power of community, especially in hard times. An important Faith Friday message.
Plus, we're starting something new, and you can join in. Shop it like it's hot. Hey. Beauty and lifestyle expert Millie Almodovar kicking off our new shopping series. You know we like to shop. Stay with us.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Faith Friday. And our next guest is author and senior rabbi of Ikar, a Jewish congregation based in Los Angeles. And this Passover, she's working to shed light on the power of community during dark times.
That is so important. And she talks about it in her book, The Amen Effect. And here to share her message of hope is Rabbi Sharon Brouse. Good to see you, my friend, and thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
So this book stems from pastoring a community in L.A. Why was it important to get it out now?
Yeah. Well, we built this community in L.A. about 20 years ago. And what I've seen over the years is the impact that loneliness and social alienation and isolation have on our spirits. It's actually breaking us. We feel so disconnected from one another, and it's hurting our spirits. And then I started to read some of the research that's come out in the last decade and a half or so, and we see that it's not only hurting our spirits, but it's actually hurting our bodies. Mm. We know now that acute loneliness has the same impact on our lungs and heart as essentially smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It's pretty profound. And all of that is compounded by the fact that we now know that social alienation and disconnection and isolation is actually breaking our society. It threatens to break our democracy. And so it felt to me really critical to put out a message of how precisely in a moment when our inclination is to turn away from each other, we have to turn toward one another. And the whole book is rooted in this one particular ancient ritual. When Jews used to come up from all around the land and even the diaspora up to Jerusalem for pilgrimage, and they would go up and ascend to Jerusalem, the city on a hill, climb the steps of the Temple Mount and enter through this beautiful arched entryway and turn to the right. And hundreds of thousands of people would circle around the courtyard and then leave where they came in, except for someone who's brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. And that person would go through the same entryway but turn to the left. And a sacred encounter would happen between the people who were okay there for their spiritual work and the person who's brokenhearted. And they would turn to the brokenhearted and ask with open-hearted wonder and curiosity and care, tell me about your heart. Tell me what's broken. And the person would articulate their pain, and then they would receive a blessing. And it felt to me like such a powerful model of what's missing in our society, because we turn away from each other at exactly the time that we actually need to open our hearts to one another and actually find the courage to be vulnerable with each other. So this book is really a plea to turn to each other with love, with care, with curiosity, in solidarity, in celebration, and even in sorrow, as a way of helping heal ourselves and our society.
You know, there's so much brokenness in this world right mm-hmm. now, and so much unrest. I mean, there's been protests on college campuses all across the country this past week. As a spiritual leader, what do you say to those people?
Yeah, I mean, I went up to visit campus yesterday, and I've been tracking this obviously very closely, and I have a kid in college, in a hot spot in the country. And you know, what I could sense in the protests was that the students who were there were getting this sense of belonging and purpose from being there, which is really important because we all need that. But the way that these protests are unfolding, we're seeing a kind of virulent anti-Semitism that is manifesting in a lot of the protest spaces, which is extremely dangerous. And we're seeing a false binary that's being set up that calls not for peace, not for some kind of policy change, but for the annihilation of the state of Israel. Ultimately, there are millions of people, Palestinians and Israelis, who live in that land, and they on the ground are working to build a just future together. And what I want to see here is that here we in the diaspora are able to support the work of those outstanding organizations and individuals who are on the ground there, who are really dreaming about just and shared future. So can we use our moral imagination? Imagine if these protests were actually about collective liberation. Imagine if they were actually about dreaming a better future for Jews and Palestinians in the land. That would take on a very different tone than what we're seeing right now, and I think it is possible. So my hope is that these students can find the same sense of purpose and belonging, but in a movement that's actually about collective liberation, not about the annihilation of one party or the other. There's so much sorrow and pain here. The hostages need to come home. The people of Gaza desperately need humanitarian aid, and that all the people in the land need to be led by leaders who have a moral vision. And we can model that through our own moral imagination here in the States.
And before you go, if you could give us some words of wisdom. I know earlier you talked about loneliness, and I love this chapter here, Come Alive, chapter 4.
Yeah.
Be sure to live. How can we do that?
Yeah, so this chapter is actually named after Howard Thurman, the great theologian. And I think what we so often question, like, what am I here for? What is my purpose in life? And my argument is that our purpose is discovered in serving others, in showing up for one another with great compassion and with great care, sometimes even when our own hearts are broken. And so my plea to us is really, can we hold curiosity? Can we look to one another with a sense of wonder, with a sense of compassion, and with the knowledge that we're all broken and we all need healing? We all need to be held with some love.
Yeah, that Rabbi, love is something
you.
We definitely all need.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Rabbi Sharon Brous, thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
Here.
Thank you.
And The Amen Effect is available anywhere books are sold. And happy Passover to everyone who celebrates.
When we come back, we're going to shop it like it's hot.
Oh, goodness. Lifestyle and beauty expert Okeisha's dancing. Millie Almodovar, she's launching our fun new segment here on GMA3. Get ready to go shopping. Welcome back to GMA3. It's time to shop it like it's hot. Our new segment where we rounded up the hottest items to get us through the week. And you too can shop right along with us. Just go to goodmorningamerica.com.
Going to start calling you MC Eva. I kind of like that. And today we've got some must-have items to help make our mornings a little easier. And here to walk us through it all, lifestyle and beauty expert, our dear friend, Millie Almodovar.
Hi, guys.
Love
good
you.
To see you.
Hi.
Shop it like it's hot.
Yes.
I like this.
Yes. Okay. Let's start first. The Kaza Smart Wi-Fi plug. This allows you to control your at-home electronics remotely through an app or through voice command with Alexa or Google, okay? So you can control things like your fan, your lamps, your chargers, and you don't even have to be in the same vicinity.
Oh, wow. You can scare somebody.
Yeah, I know. I did that with my cousin 2 weeks ago. When I got this, I was like, she was babysitting my son. And then she calls me because I'm like turning the lamps on and off. And she's like, I think your house is haunted. And the really cool thing is you can schedule it to turn things on and off in the morning. Like, let's say, like, I wake up at 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I have that it turns on my coffee machine at 5. So when I wake up, my coffee's already done.
Oh,
and
that's
coffee ready. That's amazing.
$15, guys. And it makes your life so much easier.
$15.
Ooh, okay. I know what this is.
Yes. Okay, so this one is a Foreo facial cleansing brush. Okay, it uses T-sonic pulsations to gently cleanse. No, that's the other. That's the other one. That's the easy basis. We're gonna start first with this one.
This is the fancy one.
Yeah, this is the fancy one.
I just saw the price back here.
Right, but let me tell you why, Eva. Okay, it has 16 modes and intensities to clean your skin. It removes 99.9% of bacteria on your face. You use it with an app, and the app actually shows you how you can massage your face. So this is the cleansing mode, and this is the massage mode.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's completely waterproof.
Two for one.
It's $279, so we've got an alternative for you. This is the Easy Basics Facial Cleansing Brush. So again, this uses sonic vibrations to really clean your skin. It has 5 cleansing modes, and it's completely waterproof. And it's a little cheaper at $19.
Okay, that's why I picked it up first. Hey, what's next?
Okay, so next is a Cuisinart. It's the cordless electric kettle. So I need, as a single mom, I need things that save me time.
Yes,
this
preach.
Kettle, yes, this kettle heats up quickly, and it has 6 preset temperatures. So if you want to make green tea, it has green tea. All you have to do is press a button. You want white tea? Press a button. It'll make it for you. And hints up easily. It also has an auto warm feature, so it stays warm for 30 minutes. And I love this gorgeous, like, stainless steel design.
It's
so easy to pick up. and it's $99.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Speaking of warm drinks.
Yes, this is the next mug. It's the temperature controlled. It's the self-heating coffee mug. The thing I hate the most in the world, guys, microwaving my coffee when it gets cold.
And, and for some reason, the children steal the hot coffee moment from you.
I know! But Eva, we don't have to worry about this anymore, okay? This has three heat modes. So you've got warm, you've got hot, and my personal favorite, piping. I like it.
Piping. Yes. You drink it that hot?
I like it hot, girl. I'm Dominican, you know? We like it a little hot, okay? So the great thing also about this is that you charge it once and you get an hour and a half of, it warms it up for an hour and a half. So you don't have to worry about your coffee getting cold. You can enjoy your hot coffee, Eva, all morning long.
No matter what's going on. Oh, I could definitely use that.
She's the coffee queen.
Okay. This one. This is my favorite. This is the Crock-Pot. It's the programmable slow cooker, okay? Mm-hmm. This is not just any slow cooker. It's 8 quarts, so that means it can fit
big.
A large family or teenage boys. Guys, what's going on with these teenage boys?
I don't know. They eat a lot.
My son's friends came over. I had done groceries shopping the morning.
They have a picture of a whole thing. Yeah.
So the great thing is this is you can program it, okay? Mm-hmm. So it goes from 30 minutes to 7 hours. So when you come home from work, you have
it's
a nice hot
tender
meal. Yes, tender. It has an auto warm feature too, so you don't have to worry about getting cold. This is actually a dishwasher safe. You can throw it right in the dishwasher,
yes,
guys.
Like that.
And you have food for the whole family.
Dishwasher,
all right, Millie, we got 30 seconds for this last
All right,
one.
This is the Nutribullet Pro. Don't let the small size fool you. This has a 900-watt motor. It's going to blend veggies, fruits, ice, nuts. And now it doesn't only create smoothies. It creates sauces. You can create nut butters with this. And it's so easy to clean. Just remove the blade and just wash it with soap and water.
I was wondering about that cleaning process.
Mm-hmm. So easy. And look how small it is, too. I like this because I have a small New York City apartment, and it's so tiny. I could throw it right in my cabinet. Yeah.
Millie, thank you. And to shop these items and more, scan the QR code right there on your screen or head to goodmorningamerica.com.
I love it when Millie shows up. She also gives the best gifts. When we come back, the new feel-good film highlighting female friendship.
It's called Summer Camp, and Victoria Rolle stars in it. She joins us here next.
She's a legend!
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Welcome back. The new movie Summer Camp featuring our next guest, and we know her from her starring role on the Emmy Award-winning series The Young and the Restless.
And she is here to tell us all about the new feel-good comedy celebrating female friendships. Please welcome Victoria Rolle.
The legend.
Oh, thank you.
So we know this movie was a bucket list item for you.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I'll say when I was a dancer at American Ballet Theater in the junior company, I'd always wanted to work with Diane Keaton, Woody Allen. And so I called the office and I said, you know, I'm a ballet dancer. I'm kind of quirky, funny. I'd love to work with you. And the secretary said, yeah, send us your resume. I never heard from him again. But it was just a no-brainer. I was offered the role. I said, I'm in.
You said that your character in this is a departure from who you are as a person. Can you tell us about your character?
Well, to some degree, just a second. I mean, I do love fashion.
Yeah, you can tell from this hat that is fierce.
Thank you.
She is a Madison Avenue, born with a silver spoon in her mouth person, went to this really she camp called Camp Pinnacle with her friends, who are played by Beverly D'Angelo and Maria Howell, were connected at the hip from camp into adulthood. We're busy, busy people, and we're very opinionated. Like, why wouldn't you want to do whatever is necessary to make yourself look 21 forever? So, you know, when we see Diane Keaton's character, Kathy Bates, Alfred, we're like, ladies, I mean, what? Come on, get the stuff done. So, a bit of a departure in that way.
And I called you a legend off the top of this little segment here, and that's because you are a legend. I remember watching you as a kid, and we would wait for you to come on TV. All the black kids were like, oh, wow, that's us. That's me right there. You're still advocating for people who look like us to be on daytime soaps.
Well, not only daytime, but also primetime feature films, but more so the infrastructure behind daytime drama mm-hmm. was always a passion of mine. I've seen some changes come to fruition. I'm really proud of the legacy, being a part of it, and seeing change come, yeah.
But you do know your reason for that.
I do. I accept that I didn't do it alone. Mm-hmm. I did it with people from the NAACP, National Urban League. Really proud of what Sheila Duxworth is doing with a new show that's being developed, The Gates.
And yeah, The Gates, yes.
Yes, and I'm just proud to be a part of the work behind the scenes. These are pension-earning jobs. These are jobs for life. We call soap opera contracts jobs for life. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Proud of that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you've done so much. Mm-hmm. You just like kind of casually threw out the ballet, then the acting.
Yeah.
I mean, you, what do you not do?
Well, I mean, it's funny you bring up the ballet and summer camp because it's an homage to friendship. Mm-hmm. It's an homage to hearing what you don't want to hear, peeling back the onion. Okay, yes, we all still wear Easter egg colors, my two cohorts, the pretty committee. We are going there with designer luggage and the whole bit, but at the end of the day, the movie really is about being honest, being vulnerable, doing things we haven't done in a long time or have ever done. We're very competitive still. We're river rafting. There's horseback riding. There's archery. The funny is in that, but you get what you put into friendship. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the ballet, two of my childhood friends here in New York City, Dr. Laura Riley, she runs New York Presbyterian Obstetrics, Lisa Headley, 30 years for Fashion Week. We all went to see New York City Ballet together, remembering our summer camp, which were the summer ballet intensives, American Ballet Theater, Joffrey, School of American Ballet. And so we were teens when we were 15, 16, 17. And to be with friends, that type of friendship is priceless. Yes. And that's what summer camp is about. Yeah, you know, we're wearing too much makeup at camp, my character and my cohorts. We're wearing designer camp clothes. Who does that? We're not wearing khakis. We don't have sneakers. But we really put a premium on friendship and what it really means.
Mm-hmm. And those friendships are so special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it drops May 31st, it's for all ages. Okay, yeah, so we're 60 and older, but it's for all ages. It's about friendship, it's about camaraderie, and we're really, really thrilled. Our director, Castile Landon, was brilliant as our writer-director. It's hilarious.
It looks really funny. We're so thankful to have you here with us. And make sure you catch Summer Camp, as she mentioned, it's out May 31st.
Mm-hmm. And that is what you need to know on this Friday. I'm DeMarco Morgan.
I'm Eva Pilgrim.
And I'm Dr. Darian.
For all of us here at ABC News and Victoria, make it a great one.
Thank you.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.